I think it was in one of those first Superman movies, 78, somewhere around there. Remember Lex Luthor, played by our friend Gene Hackman? He wanted to buy new beachfront property. It was in Arizona, he said at the time. He was making his own little plan. Remember that? In a moment, Robert Felix, our guest, we're going to talk about where some of these coastlines will be if sea levels increase. Robert, if these sea levels do increase to the point where you mentioned last hour, what would that do to the coastlines of, let's say, the United States?
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at a map here because you had mentioned that, and just about all of the major cities I'm looking here, Los Angeles, San Diego. Well, of course, I guess San Diego has some hills, right? But
Yeah, but they're in. Yeah.
Los Angeles, Miami, St. Petersburg, New York City, Manhattan, just city after city after city would be covered.
What would we need? 5 feet of increase, 2 feet, 10 feet?
Well, if this the same thing that happened at the Endymion, if that should happen again, at that time sea levels rose 20 feet. And then they declined 50 feet, all within 100 years. Boy, look at New Orleans.
Well, I know that. Yep,
But it
exactly.
would be there would be no way to handle it that I know of, except start moving inland fast.
You couldn't stop it.
No, there would be no way to stop it, because the only way that would happen is if there were a mammoth underwater volcanic lava flow. And these have happened. There's a guy, Stanley Chernikov, who wrote a book, Geology, in 1995, that's used in many universities around the country. And he talks about an immense submarine lava flow that was discovered off the coast of South America, that they believe that it had been extruded into the sea within the last 25 years, and it had 15 cubic kilometers of basalt. Now, Americans, we don't understand kilometer, but that would be enough lava to pave over the entire United States interstate highway system to a depth of 35 feet.
My
And
God.
that all of that lava, and that's one that we know has happened within the last 25 years. And that would have been that would that lava would have been 2,100 degrees hot, 10 times the boiling point. So that one didn't even hardly make a blip to us, but we know that that one has happened. Now, the thing is that sometimes these things can be huge. The lava flows during the at the dinosaur extinction, the what's called the Deccan Traps, there the lava was a mile deep and covered a fifth of the entire country of India.
Well, what would have happened, Robert, if let's just use the 1700s
Sure.
as a start point, 300 years ago.
Sure.
Well, if 300 years ago, when they really started building cities, I guess, they were all made out of wood then and some brick. But 300 years ago, what would have happened if they had just built 5, 10 miles inland from the coast and just left the coasts bare because maybe some engineer or architect, and you've got that kind of background, was smart enough to predict, hey, you know what? This is the 1700s, but in a few hundred years, these cities are all going to be inundated. They're going to be gone. If somebody had been able to profit that and see that, they might have been able to save these cities. Could they have done that? Could they have built cities 10 or 15 miles inland, let's say?
Well, but let's look at it the other way too. If you want to do the profit thing, is because during ice ages, sea levels go down as the ice accumulates in Canada. Sea levels go down and down and down. During the last ice age, sea levels were 200, no, 350 feet lower than they are today. So if you'd have bought a hundred and the coastline of the East Coast was 100 miles further out to sea than it is now. 100 miles further east. So if you'd have owned a 100-foot-wide lot in Florida, it would have extended for 100 miles. What a great investment. So,
right, a great investment.
You know, which way are we going to go? You know, the prophecies work both ways.
So they wouldn't have known.
I don't see. Now we know. I mean, well, yes, a geologist could look at that and say, well, gee, there's sand behind me. Do I really want to build? You know, there's sand in front of me. There's sand behind me. How did it get there?
Yeah.
So,
something brought it.
So, you know, I look at people now who build on these barrier islands, and I think they're out of their minds.
If the poles are melting, and they are, we see chunks of ice shelves falling off all the time.
Yes.
How can we be in an ice age?
Well, not everything is melting. Now, I know that the Arctic is melting, and I keep hearing about how humans are causing it, and again, I disagree. There are underwater volcanoes in the Arctic Ocean that they're still discovering. Here's one that on the 29th of August, which is just last month, researchers found hydrothermal vents that were pumping 500-degree water into the Arctic Ocean. And it's along the Mons Ridge in the Arctic Ocean, and it was discovered by people from Oregon State University and other places, but the water is pouring into the ocean through these vents so hot that it melted the cables on their cameras. It's 500 degrees hot, and these fields, they found these chimneys, 30, 40, 50, they don't know how many, and it's been going on long enough, George. They found shrimp and anemones growing there. Nobody knew that you could have shrimp growing in the Arctic Ocean.
No.
Now, that's not humans. But yes, the Arctic Ocean, the ice there is melting, and yet other places, and this is what you don't hear about, other places the ice is growing. There was also an article just this month that all 50 of the glaciers that are being measured in New Zealand are growing. Glaciers are growing right here in the United States. Glaciers are growing on Mount Shuckson in northern Washington State. On Mount Rainier near Seattle, there's a glacier called the Nisqually Glacier, and that had been retreating, but now it is growing at the rate, it's growing thicker at the rate of 18 feet per year. And scientists figure that with all of that weight added, it's going to start advancing by the year 2010. That's only, 5 years away. All seven glaciers on Mount Shasta are growing. Some of them have doubled in size in the last 30 years. There are glaciers in Greenland, and this one drives me nuts. There's glaciers in Greenland that are advancing at the rate of 7 miles a year, that they're advancing toward the sea. And somehow the people who swear it's global warming have turned that around and said that that's proof of global warming. So they've got it so that if glaciers are retreating, it's global warming. If glaciers are advancing, it's global warming. It's not true.
Now, illustrate for us how this ice age is occurring, will occur. And also, and I ask you this all the time, only because it's probably one of the scariest graphics I've seen in a long time, the cover of your book, Not by Fire, But by Ice. Would you kind of explain for us, Robert, what that is?
Well, what I show on the cover of the book is high-rise buildings being swallowed by ice. I had one geologist in New York State email me and complain about my cover because he said the ice in Manhattan was much deeper than my cover shows.
he thought it should have covered all the buildings. Huh?
Yes, well, it did. It covered Manhattan. It went as far as Long Island.
You won't tell me what city that is on the cover, though, will you?
I made sure the artist used buildings that weren't real, so that's not that. But you know that I suppose could be Chicago. Chicago was totally covered.
True. It's, you know, I don't see the Empire State Building, so it's not New York.
No.
I don't see the Arch in St. Louis, so I know it's not that.
It didn't go. You know, the ice, that's one thing during an ice age is the whole world does not get covered with ice.
But does it? Is it always cold, though?
Where the ice is, of course, is cold. But no, temperatures, well, for instance, Seattle during the last ice age was covered by about 4,000 feet of ice, four-fifths of a mile.
4,000 feet straight up?
Straight up. But the ice only went as far south as Olympia, Washington. 100 miles south of there, it was only about 7 degrees colder than it is right now.
What is it, like gradual? Like going up a mountain where it kind of, you know, goes all the way back down and flows right into the ground and
it's
that's
a,
it?
There's like a cliff of ice. During the last ice age, the ice, well, it went as far south as Olympia, Washington. Then it moved back. There was a cliff of ice, but it kind of moved back up towards the Canadian border in Idaho. And then it followed the Missouri, essentially followed the Missouri River.
Well, how far south then did it go?
It went to the Ohio-Missouri River. So it went a couple hundred miles south of Chicago.
So it got close to St. Louis.
It got close, but it didn't make it. And as far as I know, no ice age made it that far.
Not that I'm concerned about myself when I go there.
And so what happens in your area of the woods is that essentially the climate of Chicago moves to Georgia.
However, now I'm back in Los Angeles.
Oh, so then you're fine, except you've got 20 feet of... Well, once the 20 feet of water rises, then it'll go back down, though, very quickly, so... Just have a boat, I guess.
Or be on higher ground.
Yes.
If you can. Explain the procedure for the ice age, how it comes in what happens, because it's an accumulation, isn't it, generally?
Yes. Yes. Some people think I'm talking about huge chunks of ice plowing out of the north. No. What it is, it's called a snow blitz, but it just snows and snows and snows. It takes about 100 feet of snow for it to start compacting into ice.
And would you get that in a season?
I believe that we will see areas of the world. Yes, I believe in my lifetime I'll see some city in the world covered. I'm guessing it'll be a city in Europe.
Okay, because first of all, houses will collapse.
Yes.
Buildings will just plummet. I mean, people can't be stuck in their homes. They're going to have to flee. They're going to have to leave, right?
But not go too far away. I've been thinking like having a rope tied to your chimney or something and keep on shoveling that roof off. But no, there's going to be, I have one chapter in the book called Nine Stories of Snow. And I believe that there will be areas that could get that much snow in a day. And it comes from that moisture. You know, people keep saying, well, what do the warming oceans and what do huge rainstorms have to do with ice ages? Well, what it is all of these huge rainstorms, when they start falling in the north, that's when we've got the problem. 1 inch of rain, meteorologists figure that 1 inch of rain, if it falls as snow, will be 10 inches of snow.
That's right. You know, they're talking about Hurricane Rita, for example, may have brought 25 inches of rain in some areas.
Yeah.
So that would have been 250 inches of snow if it happened to have been in a colder region. I don't know if a hurricane can develop or deliver in a very cold region, but just for sake of it, that's 250 inches of snow. That's 20 feet of snow.
Oh, yeah, that would cover it. That would trap
everybody.
Trailer truck on the freeway.
Every house,
that
every
would,
home. You're in your house.
Yep, every flat roof building would collapse.
I'm not sure your utilities would work, would they?
No, well, there would be no way to rescue you. You can't get a plane down there. You can't.
You're dead. You're dead in 20 feet of snow.
You're gone. Yeah, there's no way to rescue
you. It's worse than any flood because you can't even evacuate.
Absolutely worse.
Can't drive away.
No, that's what caught the mammoths. You know, there are so many mammoths. You had brought that up earlier, but there are so many mammoths that have been found trapped in ice. Standing up.
They're thinking of cloning one, as a matter of fact.
I remember seeing that. I wonder if they'll be able to do that. But some of those have been found standing up. So that, to me, that means they were trapped in giant storms. Now, I have had meteorologists bring to my attention, just as you said, that hurricanes will not create that kind of a storm in the north. But if you had a giant El Nino throwing all of that moisture into the sky at the same time that you had a massive above-ground volcano, then you have the recipe that would cause that to happen.
What do you think the biggest single-day snowfall has been in any city in America? I know Buffalo got hit bad a couple of years ago, didn't they?
I think, yeah, Buffalo had seven...
7 or 8 feet?
Either 7 or 8 feet, because, I was thinking about it, because a normal garage door is 7 foot tall. You would have gone out and opened your garage door, and you still wouldn't have seen daylight. That has happened just in the last 5 years.
Well, you couldn't open the door.
No, you couldn't. But, I mean, that it's that deep. That's got to be incredible.
So, with that kind of snowfall, and what you're saying then is it then begins to accumulate. And how does it turn to ice?
Okay, once it gets to be 100 feet deep, then just the pressure starts turning it to ice.
It's so compact. And the weight alone turns it into ice.
Yes.
I see.
So that's how you get there. And that's how I would see it happening.
And then you have massive floods when it melts?
Oh, yes.
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Now... depending on how soon it melts. You know, if you're lucky enough, why it melts in 2 months, but whoever was caught in it, of course, it's too late. But talking about the massive floods, at the end of the last ice age, there were the huge floods, and this correlates in time with Plato's story of Noah's deluge. But there was a huge lake in Montana called Glacial Lake Missoula,
yep,
that was bigger than all five Great Lakes put together. And what had happened, there was a tongue of ice that came down from Canada that covered, that dammed up the West Clark Fork River. And it dammed it so that this huge lake formed, and the dam was 1,100, the water was 1,100 feet deep. If you fly into Missoula, Montana, you can look up 1,100 feet on the side of the mountain, and you can see the old shoreline. Well, the water got to be so deep that finally it blew out the bottom of that glacial dam, and water flooded down the Columbia River. The Columbia River was running 50 miles wide. There were places where it went through something called the Wallula Gap, where the water was 1,100 feet deep. And even when it reached Portland, Oregon, the water was still so deep that it dropped the gravel bar that Portland, Oregon is now built on.
I mean, I just, you know, Robert, I happen to be one of these positive thinkers of life. I think that mankind, no matter what, is going to pull out of any kind of a mess we might be in, any kind of obscurity, and just move forward, no matter what. But be that as it may, these earth changes, these incredible things, these events that are occurring in our lives, the tsunami last December, these hurricanes, these volcanoes, I mean, it just doesn't stop, does it?
No, it doesn't. You know, one of the things I've been, you know, these last hurricanes where people are realizing they should keep some food on hand, that's one of the things I say in the book. I think we'll be fighting in the streets for food long before we're covered with ice.
And water.
So, yes. And so I totally agree with that, is make sure you have food and water, absolutely.
Can people still pick up the book, not by fire, but by ice?
Yes, they can.
How?
It's available on my website, or it's available at bookstores. The bookstores, it takes them like 3 days to get it.
All right. Or Amazon?
Or, yes, it's available.
That's quick.
At Amazon.
Amazon's pretty good, too. Well, Robert, to stick with us, I think what I'll do is I'll open up Fast Blasts now. I want to give people have been asking me questions to ask you. So I'll open up Fast Blasts. We'll do a half hour of Fast Blast questions for Robert Felix. And then at the top of the hour, we'll open up the phone lines, and then you can chat with him as well. Our guest, Robert Felix, not by fire, but by ice. We're talking about the ice age that he believes we are in now. What do you think? I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with your Fast Blast questions on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Mark McClintish will be our guest. He's going to be talking about unusual technologies, how they play a role in the paranormal, as well as UFO activity. So get ready for that one on our next Coast to Coast show. When we come right back, it'll be Fast Blast Questions for our guest, Robert Felix, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest, Robert Felix, and your Fast Blast questions. Robert, Jim from Minnesota wants to know, how long will these ice ages last?
They last about, the snow begins accumulating and then continues accumulating for about 5,000 years.
So they don't go away pretty fast, do they?
No, they sure don't. And then that's the ones that are that come during the precession cycle. But then there's a more of a major ice age about every 100,000 years, and those are even bigger.
Up until the time that humans were around, was there a purpose for an ice age? I mean, was there any kind of a planetary cleansing that it did, or anything like that?
Oh yes, it did. 23,000 years ago, that ice age took out 40% of the large animal species. You know, there used to be mammoths and saber-toothed tigers and giant ground sloths, and there are big extinctions with each one. But they're 40% or 30% extinctions, so they don't look like the dinosaur extinction.
Daniel from Edmonton in Canada wants to know and writes, I agree with your guest. The one thing I notice in Edmonton is the temperatures at night in August, we had 40 degrees overnight temperatures. He said, that's strange. What do you think?
Well, you know, some of that can be just normal fluctuations. So I hate to say that because, you know, I'll say again, is that it doesn't have to be colder to have the ice age. What you need to worry about more is the moisture. Because the snow is what counts. It was Morris Ewing, I think, head of Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory, mm-hmm. who said it doesn't have to be colder. But all he can, you know, if your person from Edmonton can just imagine that in February, even though it's not any colder, if he starts getting, you know, 2 feet of snow a day for 30 days.
It's going to add up and
all of a sudden
away.
He's got 60 feet of snow and yet it's not any colder.
Heck, I remember living in Minnesota in 1978 and I had never seen snow like this, Robert. I mean, mm-hmm. it never went away and it never got cold enough to melt. So, I mean, from October, November through April, the snow that came in November was still there in April. They just had piled it up.
Oh, yes. I was raised in a little tiny town in Vermont, and the same thing happened there. I don't want to be there anymore. But, yes, the snow, you figured that it was going to remain until April.
Jason from Philadelphia wants to know if Philadelphia is safe from the sea levels.
Philadelphia is pretty close to sea level, I believe, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's also pretty close to water, isn't it?
You know, I don't know it well enough to. I don't know height.
I don't know the height of Philadelphia.
That's the question that he could find out is just how far above sea level Philadelphia is.
We'll get that very soon.
Someone will
send that to me, and I will relay it to you. So where's the best place, according to Brian in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to live in an ice age? Where do you go?
On my website or in the book, both, I have a map of where the previous ice ages, where that the extent was. And I'd just say mainly south of there. So there are a lot of places in the United States that should be fine. I'd have to look on my map. A lot of Pennsylvania was covered with ice. And I'm not sure whether Harrisburg was one of those places or not. But try to be south of that line.
Debbie from Austin, Texas says, I've been thinking of moving to New Mexico or perhaps Colorado. What do you think?
I think Austin is a good place to be.
Just stay there, huh?
Yeah.
I know.
Well, Colorado's fine. Yeah, I mean, I think the very tops of some of the mountains in Colorado were glaciated during the last ice age, but certainly not all of Colorado.
Jarek wants to know, from Odessa, how cold does it get in an ice age?
Okay. In a lot of areas, it's only about 7 degrees colder. The tropics during the last ice age were only about 4 degrees colder than they are right now. The equatorial rainforest belt temperatures were almost the same. So you won't, unless you're in the icy area, it won't feel that much colder.
Steve wants to know from Memphis, if the ocean heating is causing the glaciers to recede, is it possible that when they are totally gone, that is what actually triggers the climate change? Is that, even though some are growing, well, I can't read his typo at the end.
That is, yes, that is part of what it is, because there's something in the Atlantic Ocean called the Atlantic conveyor, essentially. But what happens is warm water comes from the tropics and moves north in the Atlantic Ocean, and it ends up, it's the Atlantic Current. It ends up heating Great Britain and heating much of Europe. Those areas are north of New York City, and yet they're a lot warmer because of that warm current. Well, when that warm current gets far enough north, it sinks. The salt in it makes it sink back down below the surface of the ocean, and it returns back south again. So it's like a conveyor belt. Well, as you get too much fresh water into the Atlantic Ocean, then the water no longer sinks and that conveyor belt stops. That is happening right now. That conveyor belt has slowed down by 75% in the last like 15 years. And scientists are worried that could trip it. Now, that fresh water is coming from the fact that rainfall has increased tremendously, and it's also coming from the fact that the ice in the Arctic Ocean is melting. So he's right. Yes, that could be a big part of the trigger.
What's the Philadelphia sea level? They say a couple of people say it's 45 feet.
Then that should be okay.
It's pretty safe. And it's quite a bit inland from the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes.
And, you know, so it would take a huge pop to get to Philadelphia.
Yeah, then I wouldn't worry about that then.
What about emissions? Any contribution to this global warming?
I don't think so. I really don't. I look at Washington State because that's where I happen to live, with the industry and everything. And our biggest polluter is Mount St. Helens.
When it burps.
Yes. And so I just don't, I think in the last 100 years, that's been our biggest polluter. I think nature is far bigger polluter and a far bigger cleanser than we are.
From Vancouver, British Columbia, Michonne wants to know, will Canada be completely covered by ice?
No. There's parts of Western Canada that were not covered. Oh, and by the way, Alaska, surprisingly, a lot of Alaska is not covered by ice during an ice age. It's amazing. And because as the Pacific Ocean warms, it is and creates all that moisture that is pumping into the sky, its winds are moving into Western Canada and moving into Alaska. And so parts of Alaska during the last ice age were actually no more glaciated than they are now.
John from Minneapolis wants you to know that we at Coast to Coast have overloaded your website. He's probably, I'm sorry, I'm laughing, Robert.
Okay. Well, I like that, I guess.
We have. It may take a while. Your server probably cannot handle the load, my friend.
Wow.
He is offering to give you a duplicate site hosted by them free of charge if you're interested. If you are, I'll keep his website for you.
Yes, keep his website for me.
You want that, huh? Okay. All the millions you're making with this book, you still want this free website? No, actually, you're making a public service off the.
No, if it's if I'm the kidding. Server if it can't handle it, that's that has not happened before. So,
well, I think you got a lot of interest with this right now. It's a topic that's very timely.
Yes.
In 1998, when we first talked, we were way ahead of the curve with you.
Yes, you were. You were, and now there are a lot more scientists who are saying that this could happen. I mean, they're blaming it on global warming, of course, but they're still saying that an ice age could indeed happen.
Richard from Oklahoma City would like you to pick three of the safest regions in the world that you would move to. You want to do that? If you had the ability to. Let's say in the United States.
Okay.
Make it easier for people.
All right. I'd probably be looking at North Carolina or South.
All right.
Probably.
Hurricanes could get them, though.
Yeah, probably Oregon or South. Making sure not to live where there's going to be a huge huge earthquakes.
No.
And there's another thing is.
How about Idaho?
Idaho, I think southern Idaho should be fine. It's amazing is that even a lot of northern Idaho was not glaciated. You know, I had mentioned that Seattle was covered by 4,000 feet of ice, and yet Spokane, which right now is colder than Seattle, was not covered by ice.
Yes, Robert, I just threw away my Nanook coat that I had in St. Louis. I never needed it. I spend 80% of my time in L.A. Uh-huh. I figured, all right, I'll just spend my winter months for sure in L.A. I won't have to hit these St. Louis winters, mm-hmm. which have been nominal lately. So I tossed this old coat away. Actually, I gave it away to the Salvation Army.
Well, if you stay in L.A., you won't be much colder than it is right now. Of course, you'll be underwater, but
thanks.
Other than that, you'll be fine.
How will the ice age, according to Joe in Chicago, affect the Great Lakes?
It will cover them with ice.
It will.
Yes. By the way, on those safe areas for people to live, make sure you don't live anywhere near a floodplain. You know, there are so many areas that are called 100-year floodplains.
Oh, and 500-year floodplains.
I think we'll be seeing 100-year floods every other year.
Maybe
and
right.
I would stay out of the 500-year floodplain.
Do you know, according to Deck, if the extra humidity that might be produced from, let's say, hydrogen fuels in cars, if that's the way we go, if that extra humidity, because the emission is water, H2O, will that affect temperature? I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Hmm.
I mean, a lot of water will be put into the air.
Yes, it will. Well, all of the clouds are going to have to lower the temperature a little bit, but that moisture is going to be coming back as giant snowstorms, because as I had said earlier, the sea levels were 350 feet lower than they are today. The Bering Strait is only 270 feet deep at its deepest, so that was above water during the last ice age. Alaska was twice as big as it is now, twice as big, because so much more land was exposed. So that's where the moisture is going to go. It's going to come down as snow.
James from Calgary says, you won't believe it, but it's supposed to snow here in Calgary tonight.
What's oh, my it? Gosh. Didn't it already? Now, this is email, right? I think it snowed in Calgary south of Calgary, I think 18 inches just a couple weeks ago. They called it a summer storm, summer snowstorm.
Now, does that melt away pretty fast?
I'm sure that did, yes.
That is something. Tom from Tombstone, Arizona wants to know when he can start building his dock.
Well, just go there where the OK Corral is, and I don't think you'll need one there.
Of everything that you have looked at, let's say over the past 7-8 years, is there one thing that bothers you that we should be doing as a world, as a nation, and we're not?
Yes, I think we still need to study underwater volcanoes a lot more than we have. We, as I mentioned earlier, we know more about the moon than we do about underwater volcanoes. And I think it's tremendously important because I think underwater volcanoes are what cause El Nino. And I think as volcanic activity increases, we need to know. That would give us some warning.
Why are we so foolish about our own planet, Robert?
You know, I don't know. Well, checking out 2 miles deep is kind of tough, or 3 miles deep. You know, there was about 4 or 5 months ago, that there was an occasion where there were 4,300 underwater earthquakes off the coast of Oregon and Washington. Those 4,300 earthquakes occurred in a period of like 3 days. And I know the University of Washington sent out a research vessel to see what was happening. My guess is that was underwater volcanic activity, but we don't know. I haven't heard. And I think we should be checking things like that out a lot more. Because, well, for instance, El Nino. At the beginning of the next El Nino, I'd love to see us send a submersible down near New Guinea or wherever, where that heated water begins. We ought to be able to follow it and find out where it's coming from. It's got to be underwater volcanoes. But then we can predict when it's going to happen. We'll know when the heated water is going to hit the United States, and we'll know when those giant storms are coming. And kind of like with New Orleans and now with Houston, if we know it's coming, I mean, can you imagine if you'd lived in New Orleans 100 years ago with no warning whatsoever that this thing was coming? How many thousands of people, hundreds of thousands would have died. If we can find out in advance, we can save a lot of lives.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I still can't get over the scope of the change and how fast it's happening. Yes. I think this year is going to be a torrid winter.
I fear that it is, yes. In some areas. And now if this Atlantic current, you know, the southern Atlantic is warmer, and that's what's triggering those hurricanes, I believe, or is part of it. But the Atlantic current, the part that's going towards Europe, is cooling. So it's not all parts of the ocean are warmer.
And the old farmer's almanac believes with us, Robert.
And it's usually right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
80%, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's check this last fast blast here. Jim from Salem, Oregon. Why is there no lightning in a snowstorm, but when it rains, huge amounts? That's an interesting question. Is there lightning in a snowstorm? I don't think there is. Is there?
I'm trying to think if I have seen that. I don't think there is, and I can't answer that question either.
All right, here's the thing. Back in Buffalo, 2 years ago, they did indeed have 7 feet of snow, but they say it was over the course of a week. Buffalo did have a 3-footer in 24 hours several years ago. That's still a lot, isn't it, Robert? Three feet of snow in one day?
That's a lot, yes. But I believe that we'll be seeing much bigger snowstorms than that, much bigger.
As we are hurricanes and everything else.
Yes, and it wouldn't surprise me if we see them this coming winter. You know, there have been record snows. I think it was 5 years ago that the Cascade Mountains had record snows. I know that Mount Baker, Washington, had received 100 feet of snow in one season. Now, that's 10 stories deep. That's deeper than the trees.
100 feet of snow.
100 feet. They had to use bulldozers, and they had to bulldoze the snow out from under the chairlifts so the chairs wouldn't scrape on the snow.
You ready for some phone calls?
Sure.
We'll do that at the top of the hour with our guest, Robert Felix. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.